On this episode of The Playbook, I have my first mentee, Dan Fleischman, the youngest founder of a publicly traded company, and of course, the founder of Elevator Studios. Dan and I are going to discuss the number one lesson in running a successful business. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer. Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneur The Playbook, and I have one of my first mentees, now he's my mentor, Dan Fleischman.
Pleasure to be here.
Super entrepreneur. He has his own elevator pitch night. He has multiple businesses. Most people, though, don't know. You're the youngest guy that I know to take a company public. Yeah. How old were you?
23 years old.
23.
Yeah.
And is it true that you spent your college funds on starting a company?
Yeah. I had worked three jobs, saved up $43,000 to go to STSU. And then, you know, 3 or 4 weeks into starting my company, I'd spent most of it on my clothing brand, building a booth at the convention and doing all this stuff and buying samples and, yeah.
So you took Who's Your Daddy public? And
yeah, we took it public when we were 23.
Yeah.
We did 9.5 million sales by the time we were 19. So it was like a real business before raising the money.
There's a reason to take it public.
Yeah. The reason was to take it public was to go launch the energy drink.
What was the biggest lesson? I mean, being so young, there's no way you had a lot of situational knowledge.
Of
you had grit, you know, you had persistence. But what was the number one lesson looking back that you learned about having a successful business at such a young age?
It was just communication. I wish I was more blunt with people. I started to become that way like 7 or 8 years ago, which still means 12 years too late. And blunt not being rude, blunt being communicative, like, I'm gonna do this by Friday at 12 o'clock. Even if I thought I was gonna do it by Thursday or Wednesday, I gave myself that Friday at 12 o'clock and I made sure that I did it. Vice versa, if you say, Dave, I need you by Friday at 12 o'clock to do this for our thing, and then you don't, there has to be clear communication, because a lot of times people just say, hey, let's get it done this weekend. There's nothing clear. And then next Tuesday, we're late, the client's upset, this happened or that happened. Like, just not having that clear cut thing and telling you what I need you to do by Friday at 12 o'clock. Because you might think you're supposed to do this of the book report or this of the thing, and you show up with something called the opposite because you thought. The communication is the most important thing.
One of the things I've seen you evolve to extraordinarily is you learn to take a stance.
Yeah.
You know, early on when
Absolutely.
You were younger, you know, like me, you a little bit of overselling, back-end selling. Yeah. And now when I talk to you about business, as a mature businessman, you take a stance. And we don't succeed at everything we do.
Yeah.
We make mistakes. But I love the fact when I ask you that you take a stance on, okay, Dave, here's what I would do. This
right.
is what, very firmly, and here's the reasons why.
Right.
And take it or leave it. We were just talking about you worked on the Pacquiao movie.
Yeah.
Maybe you can share kind of how, you know, your maturity, you took a stance and changed and made that movie successful.
Sure. I mean, I was trying to help them and trying to help them. And then
you're
finally,
on the board of advisors,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then finally, that after they didn't, they thought that just by having the name attachment, it was automatically going to be international. you have to get the eyeballs out there. It's like a tree falling in the forest. Like, nobody's going to watch the movie if they don't know. And so I was pushing them, hey, make sure you post on all his accounts. Hey, let's do a meet and greet. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. And then finally, we did this big thing. We rented out Hollywood Highland Mall. They had me get a bunch of influencers. We did a meet and greet where, you know, thousands of people showed up with one day notice. Everybody's got their camera phones out, and boom, within 2 days, he's number one iTunes.
I find that a lot. You know, my podcast that I have, we have some of the biggest stars,
sure.
biggest entrepreneurs like yourself. But it's funny because having you on my podcast may get 10 times as many people as Ray Lewis.
Sure, he's much more famous, but I know how to actually get people to watch something. I know how to get them to click on something, watch it, and stay watching it. Where Ray Lewis is a much bigger name, 20 times bigger name than me, and he's a legend.
And me too, right?
Yeah. But the social media following is different. They're following me for business. They're following me for charity, entrepreneurship. They're following me for a reason. With him, they're following him because he's a legend. So only a small microcosm of his following is actually going to go watch your interview.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm in the same boat as you. And we started kind of building our own brands at about the same time.
Yeah.
And it's really, and we've also surrounded ourselves with really famous people our entire careers,
right?
Even when I was at Lee Steinberg, you still were around the biggest names in sports and entertainment.
Yeah.
But yet now, it's a different kind of famous.
Right.
You know, can you kind of describe for an entrepreneur the difference between, we're touching on it with Ray Lewis, being famous, like a Warren Moon, my business partner, and then being an influencer like Dan Fleischman and Dave Meltzer?
So you could look at most baseball players, soccer players, football players, they don't have big followings on social media. And it's their own fault because they could create some of the most amazing content. Think about the behind the scenes, the locker room, training camp.
Ronaldo's the number one influencer because he gets it.
Because he gets it. He is the number one. He's got over 100 million followers on Facebook. It's mind-blowing, right?
Right.
But you see these kids that are like on the Raiders or the Chargers that are, maybe they're not the number one player on the team. Maybe they're like the eighth best player. Maybe they're the 26th best player. They're not setting themselves up for life by just doing things, by creating content with the number one guy, the number two guy, the number three guy. Imagine if they're doing behind the scenes content with the coach and with the quarterback and with the running back and doing a different content with those players and coaches, they're gonna gain following from both sides of it. And they're just not doing it, it's free and it's easy and you got all day, you're at training camp all day long. Like,
yeah, and I mean, even quick lives or asking quick questions. You know, one of the things that you do well is you answer the questions that a lot of people have. Even I watch your stuff to learn, you know, giving free content and answering questions. What are the three, I think, most important things that you teach that can help entrepreneurs? Because you're a mentor in the space to a lot of people.
I think the number one thing is to just get started. People have such a big fear of getting started. It's not like back in our days where we needed hundreds of thousands of dollars and 6 to 12 months and all these things. You and I could come up with something now, like fancylapels.com. we start fancylapels.com. I can register on GoDaddy right now. I can build a Shopify site in the next couple hours. I can go get all the Instagrams, Twitters, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, everything, all at Fancy Lapels. Go to LegalZoom, get our corporation, and within a day, we're live. And just start getting them lapels from Alibaba.com.
Right.
They're drop shipping them. Our cost was, what, $20, a couple hundred bucks? Like, our risk is nothing where your uncle was thinking about making a fancy lapel company for the last 28 years.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, to that matter, where do you think the biggest opportunities are coming in the future? Because I still think we were talking, it's the best time to build a following. It'll never be as inexpensive as it is right now. But you still need good content. I was with Frank Finkiewicz, and he talked about 1950 watching the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. I go, you know, it says 470 million views today. Completely different medium.
Right.
You know, where do you see, you know, that opportunity for the future?
So, it's kind of like insurance. Better to have it and not need it, and need it and not have it. Like gaining a following, even if you're not selling anything. You don't have to be an author, a speaker, selling info products or clothing. But what if one day your son or your daughter or your friend or your charity or somebody gets sick and you want to post about something? It's nice to have 61,000 followers to do that. And to not spend the time that you're already living that life. Like if you're already going to an event, get some footage there. If you're already going to a baseball game, get some footage there. It doesn't have to change your life to make this content. Nobody has to do as much content as you do. They don't have to give out information all the time. They can just create content with their normal life, put that out there. People want to follow it. But what's crazy is people think that it's overwhelming or encumbersome or I just can't do it or I need a fancy camera. You don't. You have an iPhone or an Android, pull it out in your real life. Takes you an extra 20 seconds.
Who on Instagram right now do you think does the best job?
I mean, the number one and number two in the entrepreneur space is Gary Vaynerchuk and Ty Lopez.
Yeah.
I mean, they're...
But they're very different.
Oh, very different. And I've worked with both for years. I love them both, and they're different facets and personalities and styles. But they're pumping out content, and not everything has to be perfect. You'll see misspellings in the captions. You'll see misspellings on the words. You'll see the video edit, like... Their content, the raw content, actually does better than their super fancy edited content.
Right, the vlogs that he backed away from, like Gary's vlog, etc.
So they are, as far as our space goes, you know, they're crushing it. But emotionally, the ones I like the best is Andy Frisella and Ed Mylett.
Yeah.
They are just so true to themselves. They'll show themselves sweating, dripping with their shirt off. You know, like, they don't need everything to be perfect and pretty. Like, they're so raw. And the followers eat it up. I mean, you see their engagement. They both have, you know, a little over a million followers. But the passion behind their followers, oh my God. If they say, I'm going to throw an event, it's sold out.
Like, yeah, that's where, I mean, Tom Bilyeu, Ed Milet, you know, working with those two guys. Absolutely. One of the things that I learned was I want an audience that'll rise for me. I don't want fake followers.
No.
I don't want to put out, also finding my own frequency, you know, not being in the middle of the road, just being myself.
Right.
Because there's, you know, in MySpace, there's no one like me on Instagram. I'm older. I've had a diverse background.
Resume, yeah.
Yeah, right? And it's really interesting. Once I started finding my own frequency, people started rising up. You can see here at the event, right? I've never had that before. Right. I've been to this event tons of times here in San Diego, and people just...
But now they run over to get an autograph. They want to take a selfie.
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
Like, it's a different experience.
Yeah.
And it's only because social media. You were the same person at last Secret Knock.
Right.
You had the same resume last year.
Right. It's so funny, right? I actually probably had, you know, more involved in the business side than just the appearance side.
Right.
And now for you too, right? I'm watching your following growing, and you've always been, like me, the guy behind the scenes.
Right. I was never doing those things because I was so focused helping make everybody else famous and spend all of our clients' money for them. That finally, I hired a CEO last year. That was way too high level for me. I didn't need such a high level CEO, and it allowed me to travel. And that's why you've seen that shift, because before, I was just living and breathing inside of my offices. I couldn't even consider or care less about being in front of the camera or speaking at all these events. Now that I have a CEO that I trust that's so impressive, it's allowed me to speak at 100 or 200 events these last year, and it's allowed me to elevate the following.
But you also still are involved with, you know, Elevator Nights.
Yeah, we've thrown our own. We've thrown 32 business events for free.
Which is awesome,
right?
I try to make them and try
one
to
day,
do.
On event number 67, you'll probably be there.
Be back again.
Yeah.
I think I was one of the first ones. It was years ago.
Oh, in San Diego, yeah.
Yeah. And we did one in LA too. But
what's crazy is now, back to the social media part, in Miami about a month ago at 3:12 p.m., I decided on a Friday, hey, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, I'm going to do a meet and greet. 3:12 p.m. on a Friday, because it was during another speaking event out in Miami. By 4 o'clock, I had a flyer made. 5 o'clock, I posted it. The next night at 8 p.m., the fire marshals were there because I had too many people. I had over 400 people show up with one post.
Wow.
Last week here in San Diego, same exact thing. I said, we can only hold 200 people, blah, blah, blah. Sold out in moments. I opened up another 20 spots, and it messed up, so it allowed 400 spots.
Oh, are you charging for the meet and greets?
No.
Yeah. Just to be able, but still.
Yeah. So, but social media, just to show you that people are willing to drive and fly. Like, people from the San Diego event, they came in from San Francisco and Texas with one day notice just off of one social media post. That's mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. I have, you know, I do meetups, and I remember Gary told me, who's, you know, our mutual friend, I said, man, I'm doing these meetups and like four people show up. And he said, just keep doing them.
Yeah.
Keep posting your content, build your following. They'll kick you out of hotel lobbies.
Right.
And now I can't do them in hotel lobbies.
Right, because too many people show up.
Right, exactly. So it's crazy. And I, you know, obviously don't do them as often.
Especially if you make it easy for people. If you make it in a city, especially when there's other stuff going around, like during South by Southwest or during Super Bowl, during whatever's going on, it makes it easier for those meet and greets to happen because the people in your microcosm are in town. That's why I do a San Diego every year during the big traffic and conversion summit.
Yeah.
And I always get 300 or 400 people because everybody else is already in town and they want something to do at nighttime, have about a meet and greet with me and my speaker friends.
That's awesome. And how do you get the speaker friends to be there?
I just ask.
Just ask them, because they all want the following. And they leverage it.
My last events, the speaker lineups blow away the paid ones.
I mean, oh, yeah.
I'm talking about, like, holy crap. I was so surprised, like, this guy does 200 million. This guy does 80 million. This guy does 400 million.
Yeah, and they're all just Dean, showing up. Ed,
everybody.
Grant. Yeah. I mean, you've had the biggest names.
All these guys just show up for me, and it's like, it's mind-boggling.
It's so funny because I don't, especially coming up to LA, and your reputation is one that when you ask, it's like if I'm in town.
Yeah.
The only thing I never can make is your birthday. That's because it's my anniversary.
Yeah. I think I've missed it every
single year. I've missed it. Also, you know, as an entrepreneur, one of the things that you've done really well is you've raised money.
Yep.
And one of the hardest questions that I have to answer is, when is the right time to raise money?
Sure.
When do you think the right time to raise money is?
Once people care.
Okay.
So the problem is a lot of people raise money before they've got their corporation set up, their website set up, their trademarks done, their bank account open. I got some people asking me to invest 100K or $1 million in a company. They don't even have a bank account. So what if
no
I said
business
yes?
Plan.
Yeah, what if I said yes? So I want to see people go through all the steps, make the business plan, get your site set up, get all the things out of the way, get some sales under your belt. There's so many things you can do to begin with to just see if people care. If you now went and got $1,000 in sales, just $1,000 in sales compared to zero, me as a, my comfortability factor doesn't go from zero to one. My goes from zero to 80. I'm like, whoa, you set everything up. You sold $1,000. You have a bank account. You have a merchant account. You have a website. You have a, like, you just did the basics and actually people paid you money. Okay, now I'm interested. Now go do $10,000 in sales. Go do 100.
Yep.
You go do these things. Guys like us, our mind shift is completely different than the other 999 that just sent us their idea. I'm not going to invest in your idea, I promise.
And what do you think about the right person, right? Both of us know, you know, I've invested in you because you're the right person. I didn't care. You call me with some idea, right. And I'm like, I mean, yeah,
next day the wire's there.
Right, right, yeah. Exactly. And I still would. What do you look for in an entrepreneur?
So I look for people that are relentless. Like, I want somebody that's going to beat the doors down, stay up all night, go to the convention, drive to the next city, fly to the next city after that. And, you know, if it takes 4 days straight with no sleep, that's what they do. I need that because I would do that for myself, and I would do it even harder if I had investors. So I'm betting on them to put in the work. If they're 9 to 5, that's just...
How do you keep the same, knowing you through all your successes, ups and downs, and, you know, you're at the top of your game right now, but how do you keep that same, you know, 19, you know, I knew you when you were 19. Yep. How do you keep that same attitude, the kid that, like, walked from top to the bottom of
the stadiums?
The stadiums? Yeah. Yeah, right? I mean, and you do. Like, yeah. It's, I talk to say, hey, I want to get together for this. You're like, all right, let's meet early. Right. I got to go out to Vegas by noon.
Sure.
But then I'm not like that, too. But how do you stay that way?
It's just ego. People have such big egos, and I just don't care. Like, mm-hmm. I'm willing to do the work because I know what it's like to not have money, and I know what it's like to not have so much opportunity and access. And so now that I have access to all these things, like, one, I don't want to lose it. Two, I appreciate it so much. I have so much gratitude for it, which is what you talk about all the time. Like, so, like, somebody wants me to work and stay up till 2 a.m. I don't need to. I want to.
Right.
Like, I just enjoy. You I enjoy the game. Like,
you
I,
get to.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. It's going to be a hard question, okay. So I apologize. You and I are both mama's boys.
Yep. Absolutely.
But, you know, I've only known you as the single guy, and, you know, as someone that was a young entrepreneur and a millionaire when I was single, it was easier.
Right.
Well, you recently got married.
Locked it up.
Yeah. And wonderful girl. And I'm just so glad, and I just feel that you're blessed. But how as an entrepreneur now, has your perspective changed that you're married?
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different world.
I'm actually working harder. I'm spending less time at home, which is frustrating because I'm working so much harder so that I can have the exit. Because when I have children, I want that first, you know, 3 to 5 years to be, I'm there. Like, I'll be okay jumping back in the game. I know personality wise.
Yeah, when they're teenagers, you'll jump back in.
Yeah.
Trust me, I got three of them. They don't even know where I am right now.
But I really want to be obsessed for that first half a decade. Like, I want to be obsessed. Yeah. I want to be that dad that's like,
like you were with your business.
Yeah.
And you'll be a great dad for
that. I'm working my butt off right now. Extra, extra, extra. I'm investing in a lot more companies. I'm setting up a lot more joint ventures and partnerships and da 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 da. Because I'm setting up for that time when I'm not gonna disappear, but I'm going to make everybody come to me. I'm not doing the traveling anymore.
And your newlywed wife is aligned with that because you communicated it to her?
If I travel for more than 2 days, she comes with me.
Yep, that's what I do.
And I talk to her and text with her and call her all day long. It's just in between everything. And at any time she needs anything ever, I'll literally drop Bill Gates and Elon Musk. I couldn't care less. Like, if she wants something, I'll walk out on them.
And people respect that. Well, to that point, both of us are going to go home to our wives right now.
Yep.
So I just want to say thank you so much for
my
being
pleasure.
A great mentee and a great mentor and a better friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Absolutely. Fleischman, one of the originals, Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneur, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.